Welcome, welcome to the 360 Diaspora Experience Podcast, where we talk about family, faith, and finance. This show is where we help you to build a mindset of legacy building for your family and generational wealth. My name is KG Ogunleye, and our show today, we're talking about planning for the future, when to start. And my special friend is here with as a guest. Her name is Tina Olumese. Tina, Justina, introduce yourself.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, my dear sister and friend, KG, for inviting me. I really appreciate it. My name is Justina. Most people call me Tina. And the last name is Olumese. Thank you.
Okay. You didn't tell us what you do. What is your profession?
Okay. I'm an accountant by profession. That's my first, that's been the love of my, you know, professionally, yeah. Career-wise, I've been an accountant. So that's what I do.
Yeah. And okay. So she's an accountant, a CPA, y'all. She's an accountant, a CPA. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, we talk about learning from the different generation, from millennial to Generation X to baby boomers, especially for the diaspora. That's what it is. So, Tina, you are a baby boomer, right?
Yes. We are the, what do we call them now? Baby boomers, yes.
Baby boomers. Okay, okay, okay. And you grew up in Nigeria.
Yes, but I
grew up and went to
more. I live more in America now.
Yeah, but those things don't leave us, right? Especially
no.
Even if you finish high school in Nigeria, it doesn't leave you. You've lived most of your adult life in America, but you're still like have all this
Nigerian.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, you know, some of those things that we bring over here and doesn't work over here, that's what we're talking about. So, let me ask you one thing. When you were growing up in the family, did they talk about finance, money, investing, money? Was those discussed at all?
Oh, thank you for this question. It really takes me down memory lane. I really thought hard about this. And honestly, I don't think we ever had or I ever had any, you know, anything going up talking about finance. What we hear most of the time is about morality, you know, in my own household. That's what we hear, education, morality, you know, that's the main thing. But I really do not hear anything about finance. My dad takes care of the finance of the home. And actually, it's when my dad passed, I realized that my mom does not even know much about finance. Although all her life, she has she's been in petty trading or things like that. But nothing much about finance, not at all.
Yeah, it's not strange. Same thing with me. We don't talk about money. That's the dynamic that we grew up in. But we cannot use that dynamic here, right? It's not possible.
No way. Not at all.
So, not at all. So, thinking about it now, you have three boys. I mean, one is already married. One is getting married soon. Woo! To my Zoe. And then the other one is in working now. Three boys. Did you guys talk about finance? Did you talk to them about finance? Did you discuss about finance with them when they were growing up?
Oh, this is huge for me. Actually, I came to America in 1991. Personally, I'm a deep thinker. When I look at the society and I look at things going around of me, I'm like, how do people survive in this country? So, of course, the first thing that hit me was this credit card issue. I'm not because it's the truth, you know. I came in, my husband was already here, and he had this finger hurt. When you start reading on the finger or looking at the interest rate, I'm like, wow, what's the point of all this? You're going to pay twice for what are you paying for? You know, someone just created that curiosity for me to start saying, no, this is not right, you know. They'll give you something for $50 at the end of the day. By the time you finish paying, maybe the thing is even worthless by then. You are paying triple the price. That was very alarming to me. Yes, it was alarming to me. Because of that, I started, you know, seeking information. I started seeking information, reading books, being debt-free, especially Christian literatures and other books. So I read a lot just to figure out, you know, how do people survive in this society? Because your paycheck is really nothing. Then how are you going to sustain it on the long run? You know, that was an issue. So because of all these things I learned personally, I made it a point to teach my children, my husband. The one that opened my eyes was when I read The Richest Man in Babylon by George Samuel Clarkson. That was an eye-opener for me. I read a lot of financial books, but that book kind of, you know, summarized everything. And it was so beautiful. The story outline, everything was beautiful. So my whole household, I had to force everybody to read that book. My husband, my children that could read them, they all read the book. So from that point, from that point, I started not just reading, because it's not enough to get information. I started to practice what was recommended in that book.
You are ahead of so many people. You are ahead of so many people that came with their children or have their children here, especially that grew up in Nigeria or any part of the African country, to teach them a lot of. And what you said earlier when you said money is not discussed, and it's true, money was not discussed growing up, but now to actually change your mindset and teach the younger ones, because it's about them now, so that they can have a better future. You are ahead. Thank you for that. And I can attest to the ones that I know that you really did teach them. Okay. So let's talk about planning for the future. When did you start? Did you even think about that? When did you start thinking about that? When you think about future, like, I'm going to retire, so what do I need to do to put in?
You know, planning for the future, when do we start? I need to say that we should start as early as possible. I was thinking through this. We should actually start when the kids, you start giving them little pocket money. You know, what about teaching them from that point? Or maybe somebody gives them $10. Let them know, you know, you can spend this whole $10. You know, keep 10% of it, $1. You know, then, of course, I will also teach them, pay your tithe, $1, by just 20%. Let's look at it in the percentage forum. Teach them that.
Yes.
And then they can spend whatever they need to spend. Just start to encourage saving, not spending everything. Because according to, so we start as early as possible. But anyway, if we have missed the mark, just like I did before, start as soon as you understand this knowledge. Honestly, economics say that our wants are so many, but the means to meet those wants, they are limited.
Very limited.
Some things we think we want, they are not actually the things we need. They are not good for us.
So for you, right, when you're thinking about yourself, you've been here for a minute there. When did you start thinking, I want to start planning when I'm not going to work anymore? You love accounting, I know that. But the time is going to come that you don't want to be an accountant did you start that earlier?
You know what, from growing up, I've always thought that, you know, by the time I get to like the age of 50, I should not be working. I should not be clocking in and clocking out. I should just be able to manage, you know, something, you know, and you know, that's what I've always had in mind, and that's what has always been my goal. But the problem with that now is that we don't really want to make any financial blunder on the way, because it's very hard to come back after you make that blunder. So that's why it's still in my plan. I'm going to be retiring soon, by the grace of God. But it's something that we should always, just like I said, if we start learning this thing early, we are able to start taking one step at a time towards this particular goal. It's not going to just be overnight, you know. We put our plan in place, and you if you don't plan, it means that you already failed, you know. You already failed. So the planning will be okay. I earn this money now. I keep a little away, you know, and then I spend this gradually. And retirement also should be a time you enjoy to do the things you love to do, not based on whether you know, you just love to, you want to wake up and just go do what you're doing, not that you are working just because you have to work or you must work. You know, it's very important that if we put this in focus, honestly, we all can achieve it. It's just sometimes we procrastinate, we don't do what we're supposed to do, you know? Things happen, and then we're like, oh my goodness, where has all this time gone?
The time doesn't wait, right? The time doesn't wait for anybody.
It does not wait at all. It doesn't. So it's very important that we start putting plan in place. We start studying and reviewing investment. Most importantly, just like you say, you can get all this information, but you need to put them into practice.
Into action.
Because if you don't put them into practice, just like you said, if you don't put them into action, honestly, it's not going to come.
Yeah. It's not enough to read, but you have to do it.
No, you have to do it.
Okay. So I want to talk about insurance, life insurance, right? I know some people, even people your own age, that said, I don't want to get life insurance. Do you want to kill me? Talk to me about
that. Oh, thank you so much. You know, in my quest for knowledge, in my quest for understanding this system, I became an insurance agent, actually. I was with World Financial Group. It's not about making money that matters to me. I learned a lot, and I know it has been very helpful in my, you know, in my how I look at money and how I deal with things now. It exposes me to understanding how money works, you know, and how to start looking at different platforms of money working. Insurance is one of the vehicles. And we are talking about people in diaspora. Thank God. This is very, very important for us. You know, we don't, Nigerians, we don't face reality most times. You know?
We'll pray. Prayer is very good.
Yeah, goodness. We'll pray for nothing tomorrow, but we'll not lift up an arm to do anything. Then we expect miracles. Where is the miracle going to come? There's something. Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy. But anyway, insurance is very important. You know, insurance actually is like a foundation, especially when you are young. You know, basically what the insurance is just saying, you know. All of us never know what's going to happen to us. Nobody knows when we're going to close our eyes and we are no longer here. If we are still in the age where you have little children growing up, can you think back, what's going to happen to my children? That thing you scares me, because when I came to this country early, somebody dies, then they asking for donation. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Donation for what? Mm-hmm.
Donation. Yeah.
If I manage to donate $100 today, which is a big money then, you know, even mm-hmm. right now, how many people will give you $100? You know? Mm-hmm. If tomorrow will the person give me another $100, what's gonna happen mm-hmm. to my children? Are they gonna yep. just be homeless? Mm-hmm. Or what's gonna happen to my husband? So that has been, for me, that has been, you know, that has opened my eyes. And in short, long time before anybody even thought about it, I don't know how, somebody came to my doorstep, I listened, and I had a policy. Because you never know who is telling me that I'm going to live 20 years. And what disservice will I do to my children if anything happens? They can't even bury me. Mm-hmm. You know, that was eye-opening. And I think we should take a look at this. Everybody's going to die. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows when. We don't pray to die early or things like that. But we do also want to leave burden to our loved ones, you know?
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
Because it's and not yes. easy. Mm-hmm.
So it's not. And the cost of burial is expensive.
Mm-hmm. It is expensive. If not for mm-hmm. anything, think about that. And the earlier mm-hmm. you do it, the better. The cheaper. You know, the earlier you do it, the better, the cheaper. And here you're not going to say, I'm going to buy a house and live for my children. If you have the mind that, oh, I need to leave something for my grandchildren, my loved ones, you know, they'll be glad. If I'm gone, maybe my grandchild can get $5,000. That's something big. And that's a lesson mm-hmm. too. At least we build on that. You teach the children, you also, we build on that. Oh, and it's a great vehicle. These days, even things have been modified that it can be used to build generational wealth. I know one of your things
you're talking
is building
of
generational wealth. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Rich people, mm-hmm. guess what? They insure mm-hmm. their lives. They're going to die anyway. So by the time they die, each of their children can get $1 million each. It depends.
Yeah.
That's, and no. it's tax-free, too. Is tax free? Mm-hmm. That's one thing you need to consider.
So the money comes to the children tax free.
Yes, tax free. Yes. Yes. So those are areas we should be also looking at, because we have come to stay in this country. We're not going nowhere. But we don't want to go with the baggage of being poor and broke. You know?
Yes. Yes, yes, being poor and broke, because you know, in diaspora, not only Nigeria, every other African country, one thing we know for is you go to school, you start working, but then we're not talking mm-hmm. about planning.
Mhm, mhm. Yes, yeah. we need to plan. You know, it's just like planning is just, you know, laying the solid foundation. Without a solid foundation. Look, issues are going to come up. Trouble is going to come. You like it or not. You know, issues like a car can break down, you know. So we mm-hmm. need to build that foundation. I'm building the foundation. One of the things I learned that insurance is one of the things, you know, because you never know. You are building something, you don't insure it. In case you don't get to that goal, how do you manage? And we also talk about kind of having a kind of emergency fund. You also emergency. Need to know that sometimes something more than the ordinary can happen. Either your car breaks down or something happens. As soon as mm-hmm. that happens, are you going to go straight into debt because of that? You know? Then we have to talk about consistent savings. The one beautiful thing I know about saving is that, let me tell you, if you start saving, at first you might think, where am I going to be saving? What's going to happen? For example, most people think that it's the bank. The bank is not really going to give you anything. You have to look mm-hmm. at other investments that are able to enhance your savings. Most people, because they save, when the opportunity comes, guess what? They're able to latch into it. But most of the time, we don't have the savings. Opportunity comes, it just slides by. People become millionaire overnight because they were prepared. Just like before the corona started, honestly, Bank of America stock came down to $14. Can you imagine?
But if you don't have the money, you can't buy.
You can't buy. That moment, just invest 10,000. In about 2 months, you get double that price. Now, Bank of America is $39-$40, and it went up and down like that within that period of time. So that is the importance of saving. That's why you cannot say, "Oh, why am I saving?" Yes, save and start to study all these investment vehicles.
Thank you. We're gonna go on a 1 minute break and come back to talk about other things. All right.
Welcome to the new Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge podcast series, where four unbossed boss diva entrepreneurs aspire to inspire new and budding entrepreneurs. All are welcome here at the lounge, where we will always have a positive and encouraging word to share. So grab your beverage of choice, your notebook, and turn your radio or laptop up and get ready to join Annette, Kelly, Shankara, and Titania on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. This is a new series with a mission to help entrepreneurs discover their truth. See you there in the lounge at 7:30 p.m. on Hump Day Wednesdays. We'll see you then.
Are you looking for opportunity to build wealth? Are you looking for opportunity to create wealth for your family and the next generation? Hi, this is KG. I've been investing and helping others invest in real estate for the past 20 years. I'm a full-time realtor with Fairfax Realty in Greenbelt. I help buyers to buy a tricky home and sellers to sell their houses and investors to invest in real estate. So if you're looking to create generational wealth to buy or sell real estate, email me at keji@metrohomesrealty.com. That's keji@metrohomesrealty.com. Let's connect so that I can give you my advice.
We're back. So we talked about investing, how it's very important to start that, and you know, saving and insurance. I want to talk to you about financial obligations. This thing is very, very common in our community. How do you balance financial obligations to your children that you have here, their first responsibility, and then to your parents in Nigeria or wherever they are, Cameroon or Sierra Leone, and extended family all at the same time? There's no money over here. We're not picking money off the floor. How do you balance those obligations?
Okay. Thank you so much. I was thinking about this. For me, family, when I came here, of course, how will I put it? I have a lot of financial burden when I came here towards my siblings. Because at the time I grew up, money was passed in my household. My parents were not, we're about 11 of us. My parents, obviously, my dad lost his job and we had to come back to the village, and he was a very, very big farmer. And but when it comes to physical cash, it was hard. So when I came down here, when I got married, this is one thing I normally say. I say my three children are all my siblings. They are all my children. I have like my younger ones. I have like already 10 children. But the thing is this: I learned to live within my means. I learned to live within my means. What I cannot afford, please, I don't give myself headaches. And I know the obligation it is for my siblings to go to school. So I practically was working, but I didn't go further to school because I know I could not handle both. Sometimes we come here, we want to, it depends on where you are, you know, where your family is, where my husband is and stuff like that. And you also want to be able to manage your home well. You don't want that to be an issue. So it's not you do this, you don't do this. There are some things that need to go. So I wasn't really pursuing. I just went, I was also a nurse in that period just to put food on my table, which I did.
You do what you need to do.
Yes, I did what you need to do. Then I guess what? I have to make my siblings aware at home. I also do not, sometimes we are here, that we think we're in America, we can solve the whole problem. No, you have to pick and choose. I let them know the school fees for you to be in school and manage and finish school, I will be responsible. But honey, when I manage to pay all those things for you, if at the end of 4 years you don't take anything out of it, I'm done. Great. And my parents, we decided that, you know, we need to take care of our parents. But so it's not about having that huge sum of money. It was just part of my budget. It was part of our budget. We just live on budget, you know. We live, it is my parents who decide that, okay, we're going to be sending them $100 every month. So $100 for me, $100 for my husband. Because when you do those little things, it amounts to greater things later. It's not when you are waiting to see when you have 1 million, you send them the money. No, just start doing it and take care of things little by little. The same thing in your household, you know? It just, they all want cereal. You don't have to buy the whole cereal in the world, your budget. If this cereal is finished for now, you guys will hold on, eat whatever is available the next time. So these are the ways for us, so that you don't, you know. And the one thing, just like we're saying, is that emphasize what is good, because one rich man among so many poor people, you are poor. So the goal at this time is to make sure that everybody is able to rise up, you know, and be at the
and
level
take care
that
of themselves.
They can they can take care of themselves, and it's not forever. You know, they might want
it's
to
pinch
your
time.
Hand, but let me tell you, you need to be firm. It's not forever. You also struggle to do something. Even in Nigeria, God is still raising millionaires. I don't know anything, but it's just the principle. So that's how we're able to
manage it. That's good. One of the things you said is budget, you know, because this is buzzword has been going on around, but has been around forever. But when you're talking about budget now, you have been using it for years, you know. Because when you're talking about your parents that are already diseased and your siblings that are already grown and married now, when they were in school, you've been using budget for a long time. So budget is important. Is that what you're saying? Is budget important, or you can just
very, very important. Honestly, if you try it, it's going to also help you to be focused on what is important and what is not important. You know, people are at different stages. When you are raising kids, but as soon as you're able to help them through this stage, they also stand on their own, you'll be much relieved that you can even have, you know, more money for some other things. It just depends on the stage of, don't crowd yourself and say, another thing with all those days, honestly, I don't do no ashwebi. I don't care what you tell me. I don't belong, you know, because I don't want nobody knocking at my door asking me for money for what?
For money.
I have other things, you know. I have other things. I still go to the party. I will still be cute. I'll do what I need to do. And that's it. Nobody knows. So we should not be people pleasers. Please, let us do what we can afford. You know, and when we build up on this principle, it goes a long way. It gives us peace of mind, you know?
Yes.
So
yes.
That's what I would say. And teach it to your children too. You know?
You cannot
buy a big house. It is not necessary. I must confess that. Oh my goodness.
You cannot buy a big house.
Yeah, that was a financial drawback. That's why I don't know. I don't want to go back, but I thank God for all the lessons I also learned. That was a big financial drawback. And this time, we are coming to what happened before. Now they're telling you that, you look at the houses, the prices are exorbitant. I'm like, how could people manage? But it doesn't matter whatever it is. Look at your own budget. Look at the things you're able to avoid. There is one for you somewhere. And ask the Lord. He will give you your own. At the right time. you know? So I think that's something we need to consider.
Yeah. And I think the issue with the house also is sometimes we want to compete with each other. Who has the biggest house?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. we should desist from that, because how many times do people who cares about what house you have, what house you don't have? Please have a house that you can go home and sleep and enjoy your house. It's not even about the house. Nobody even cares. I'm so surprised in America, nobody even cares what you write, you know?
So, but it happens, though. You don't think it happens?
Yes, it happens, but we need to grow up, you know? We are no longer in that fantasy life. You know, you don't have to go work 24 hours to maintain a house. You're not sleeping. It doesn't make any sense. So, along with teachers, and you know what? Your house is a liability.
It is a liability if you don't pay it off,
If you don't pay it off, it's still a liability. Anything happens, guess what? The house is gone, you know? Health issues, it depends on your age too, you know? Yes. You cannot do those work anymore. So it's better we start this planning, putting them into practice, and learning from what has happened.
I'm going to segue on this housing thing. I want to talk about it a little bit. You know, I'm a realtor, but I always see also in our community, I see people in their 60s and over 65, and they are buying big house. And I'm thinking, okay, is this a good idea? Think about it from an accountant point of view.
Thank you, KG, for bringing this topic. I know you're in the real estate business. You are not doing this to just make money, because if they buy the big house, of course, you want to be their reactor to get more money, but you want to think more of that person. 60 years, like averagely, buying a big house at 60, are you still working, or do you have that big business to just pay off without any stress? But that's not the right thing to really do at that time, because how long are you gonna stay in that life working? No. I know that there are other ways we can do things, but I think it's the richest man in Babylon. Sometimes people grew up, maybe they grew up not ever having big stuff, nice stuff. So
and now they're trying to compensate.
Compensate for that time, you know? I've been dreaming of this big house. Please, whatever it is, look at what you can afford. So you don't stress yourself unnecessarily. Nobody really cares about, you know? The reason is your peace and your joy. So it's something that needs to really look at very close. And also, guess what? People that have the big houses when the children are growing, they are gone. They will be gone before you think about it. Myself, none of my kids live at home. The place I have, they don't like it.
I don't.
Them, I tell you, guess what? I didn't buy this house for you.
They already grown.
They have their own taste, you understand? And God bless us so much in this country. When you have those big houses, it's time for you to consider, you know, I need to downsize, you know?
Downsize,
downsize, and then sell the place, invest your money in something worthwhile, you know? Even pay off the little one you bought. I know that you don't have mortgage
in
America. Yeah. And then... enjoy, go volunteer, do great things.
That's right.
It is very, very important. And I just pray the Lord will just give us wisdom in all these things, you know?
Amen. So, let me ask you, looking now, I told you, but you're a baby boomer. So when you look back at your younger self, when you are 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old, what one advice will you give your younger self? Like something that you know now that you should have taken that advice then?
Oh, yes. Oh, one thing, especially for the younger ones now, please, you need to consider your student loan. You know, a lot of people, they're in debt because Look, it's possible for you to lower your debt as much as possible. Come on, you guys are finishing school very, very young now. You don't have to go to that first year, second year of college. I made that mistake too. First and second year of college, you take all this loan. And all those classes, you can conveniently pay for them in the community college. That cuts off your debt so much. Then you don't have to, you know, you don't have to really leave, go to in-state university. Yes, if you want to go to Ivy League with all your level, they will give you how much scholarship. Just a stipend.
Yeah, I know.
You end up. So what's the advantage you have with all this brain and the intelligence, all that thing? All Ivy League, they are not the only people that work in America. There are other people that are working everywhere. So you start, you know, trying to make that build up that ego. I went, it's okay. I'm not saying it's not okay, but it's okay. You cannot afford it, honestly, please. It's not even what is, you know? So this is, you can reduce your school loan debt. You know, those are big. And even the school loan debt, they are never forgiven, regardless.
Yeah.
You continue to pay them a lot of money in that one. So if you are younger, think of all these means to get, you know, try for scholarships, try for grants, apply, do all these applications. I know some people would not like to do the application. Yes, you just have to. If you're thinking of your finance, it's going to be free. You can imagine when you just finish college, you start to work. So assuming you are paid like, let's say every 2 weeks, your take home is $2,000, which we say is a good pay, you know? You are thinking of loan for almost half of that amount.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Okay.
Some people have loan as much as $300,000.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I'm going to round up now. One advice to somebody that just is in their 40s or 30s that just migrated to the state, the U.S. What is one financial advice you would give them that they need to be on the lookout for?
So one thing is that, yes, you just came, you still need to follow the same principle. Don't get yourself entangled with debt. Yes, you just came, things might be tight. Yeah, you know, there's one community at times, they even live together, you know, just to be able to make ends meet so that things can be lessened, you know? You just came, there's nothing wrong, you know, you share housing together, then people do that. They can have the same financial goal and say, okay, we're going to be saving, we're going to share this together so that we can have enough to save, then we can be able to buy as we move on. Yes, there are communities that do that, but debt is a big thing you need to be aware of. Do not get into debt. All these credit cards, 20-something%, you want to buy things that you don't need, it is not necessary. So the same way, always remember to start saving, because opportunity will come that your little savings will do great things. And start to learn about investing, insurance, things like that. The earlier you start these things, the better. Start to be aware of your surroundings, your financial education. Take it seriously. Because honestly, I don't know where we're going to go to Nigeria. But
yeah, I know, right? We have to. Thank you, my friend Tina Olumesi. One thing you said you do insurance. If somebody want to contact you, can you drop your email or phone number if they want to get in contact with you?
Right now, if you get in contact with me, I'm just gonna give you a referral because I'm not really active now, but definitely I will educate you and give you a referral.
Okay. So do you want to drop your phone number or email?
Sure. Always happy to help. So you want me to give my email right now?
Yes. Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My email is justtechfinancial, JUSTECH, financial, FINA, NCIAL cpa@gmail.com. That's my email.
Okay.
And my phone number, 240-462-0580.
Thank you. We're going to pick up another time. So thank you for taking your time out of your day to listen to this podcast, this episode where we talk about financial literacy, getting set for life and planning. The episode of 360 Diaspora Experience is our prayer and commitment to support you as you strive to build a legacy for your family. If you'd like to contact me, KG, please email me at kg@metrohomesrealty.com. And don't forget to check out my website, www.metrohomesrealty.com. It is my pleasure to share with you. Until next time, have a wonderful day. Thank you, my dear friend.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day too. Hope to hear from you.